Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible, it's relevant to your life every day. And we're glad you joined us for the conversation as we explore the Gospel of Luke and discover the facts behind our faith. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth here in the book of Luke, obviously, and just excited about what the Lord's doing in our study, the things that I'm learning. Good to have my dear friend Josh Venable with us. Josh and I work together here at Faith Baptist Church on pastoral staff, and we were talking a little bit before the podcast about, I couldn't remember, Josh, if you had been on the episodes in Luke or not, but you told me you've not been in the Luke series.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and thanks again for having me back on the podcast. I enjoyed it thoroughly last time.
So. Oh, for sure, for sure. We save Josh for strategic moments like these, realizing that whatever he says is going to be so profound, so deep, that we're going to etch it into our walls, tattoo it on our arms. Maybe not tattoo, but anyway.
No pressure at
no
all.
No pressure. No pressure. We're in Luke chapter 13 and verse 31. So let me read the passage or part of the passage that we'll cover today, and then we'll just jump right into it. Look at verse 31. The same day, there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him. So remember, Jesus had just talked about this straight gate, and while there's access to the kingdom, it's a narrow access. It's an exclusive access. We talked about the fact that even people that claimed to know God relationally, and the fact that they were Jews, would be exempted or negated in their entrance to the kingdom. Because it's not about my pedigree, it's about my faith.
Yeah, right. So when I place my faith in Jesus, then obviously I have that entrance into the kingdom.
Regardless if I'm a Jew or Gentile.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And Jesus had even alluded to that by saying, many are going to come from the east and the west, the north and the south. And so it's not so much about, you know, who your dad was as to the degree that who is Jesus and do I believe on him? Boy, I couldn't have said that in a more awkward way. But anyway, you know what I mean. So verse 31, there came Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out, depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. So these religious leaders, do you think, Josh, that they had a genuine concern for Jesus' safety?
No, absolutely not. There was not a concern for his safety. I think that, you know, their desire was to get him out of that region, get him out of that country.
Yeah, stop teaching. We don't want you saying the things that you're saying. And they're trying to intimidate him.
Right.
Through a governmental intimidation. You know, if you stay here, Herod is going to have you killed. And was that an empty threat?
Oh, no, it wasn't an empty threat at all, I don't think. I think that this was going to happen eventually. But I don't think that they had his best interest at heart. And his answer is kind of revealing in the next couple of verses.
It really is. And to go back to that thought that it's not an empty threat, Herod had already killed John the Baptist.
Right.
So
yeah.
He was willing to kill a prophet. Jesus was even now in this passage in a place called Perea. So if you're looking at a Bible map or the next time you look at a Bible map of the time of Jesus, it's on the other side of the Jordan River. When I say the other side, the east side of the Jordan River. And ironically, that was where Herod's summer palace on the other side of the Dead Sea was located, a place called Machaerus, and that's where John the Baptist actually had been beheaded. So the fact that they're saying, hey, get away from here, Herod's after you, is not an empty threat, and he had done it before, and Jesus' own cousin had been right. the victim.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so it had to sink in a little bit, at least, for Jesus, and there had to be some truth to this. But I do love his statement in verse 32.
Yeah,
there.
Go ahead and read it.
Sure. He says, and he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils. And I love that. Tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do curses today and tomorrow.
You don't do curses. Read that again.
Oh, I'm sorry. I do cures today
Big
and
difference.
Tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected.
So Jesus' answer was, I'm not intimidated. Tell that fox. In other words, that a fox was a predator that was known for his subtlety, his sneakiness, his ability to sneak up to its prey. So Jesus said, I'm not intimidated and I'm not fooled. I'm not intimidated and I'm not fooled. You tell him that I am doing what God has called me to do. And I like the wording that he uses, today, tomorrow, and mm-hmm. the third day I shall be perfected. So it's a veiled reference to the gospel,
yeah,
isn't it?
Obviously, yeah, yeah. And to the resurrection and all that Jesus is going to accomplish in the future.
But it's not only a veiled reference to the gospel itself, the 3 days in which Jesus would be buried and then rise again, but it's really just even a little bit of a microcosm of his our lives,
mm-hmm.
that we live our lives as a tale that is told. It's we're going to serve today and tomorrow, and then it's over. And I am doing the will of God, and I'm going to continue to do the will of God until the day that I'm done, until my life has been matured in that sense.
Yeah, and when you look at it that way, it really is somewhat eye-opening even for us that, hey, there's a job to be done. There are people that want to stop us as Christians from doing that job. Satan is going to do everything he can to make sure that we don't do that job. But, you know, we have the responsibility to get the job done through the power of Jesus Christ.
And Jesus would often speak in these terms. For instance, he said to his disciples in John 9, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day.
Mm.
So oftentimes he would refer to a day as being a time of opportunity. And that's what he's saying here. Matter of fact, in verse 33, mm-hmm. he expands upon that. When it says, nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. In other words, I have no fear that my life is going to be taken from me by Herod. I'm not afraid that he's going to arrest me and kill me in this region, because I know what God's will is for my life. I know what the Father has for me, and that is I am going to Jerusalem, and I am going to die there like so many prophets before me have died there. That I'm going to die in the very seat of religiosity. They're going to miss me, but as far as miss my purpose,
right.
But I'm going to fulfill the purpose that God has given for me.
Yeah, and I think there's an interesting lesson for us here too, and that is that when we're doing God's will, that as long as I'm in the center of God's will, God's going to protect me. It doesn't mean that I might not die. No man knows the day that they're going to die. But as long as I'm completing and accomplishing God's will for my life day by day and month by month and year by year, then God's protection is over me. And so, you know, Jesus is saying, hey, there's nothing that Herod can do to harm me. And although Jesus knew, because he is and was God, when he would die, we may not know that, but the fact is that God still protects us, and our responsibility is just to do what God has called us to do each and every day.
For sure, safety is of the Lord, as the writer of Proverbs told
mm-hmm.
us, and maybe you've heard it this way, and matter of fact, I'm sure you've even said this to the teens over the years, and that is that the safest place you can be in life is in the will of God.
Yeah.
So Jesus is pointing out the irony that Jerusalem, which is the most favored city in the world, Jerusalem, that should know more about God, the Bible, Messiah, than any other place in the world, is going to be the place where he's rejected. And as Jesus thinks about Jerusalem, he speaks to her And one of the saddest verses in all the Bible is Luke chapter 14 and verse 34, when Jesus really laments the city of Jerusalem. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." Anytime in the Bible you see a name repeated, it's a term of endearment.
Yep.
So Jesus said, "Martha, Martha." Or he said to Peter in the upper room, "Simon, Simon." Or one day people will stand before Jesus and say, "Lord, Lord."
Yeah.
It's a term of endearment. So Jesus says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thee, thy children, would gather thy children rather together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not." What a statement.
Yeah.
In other words, Jesus said, my desire repeatedly, how often? My desire repeatedly was to gather you to myself. I've offered myself, I've presented myself, and time after time, you've rejected my offerings.
Yeah, and what a picture here of that protection that we were just talking about. You know, Jesus says, "I would have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chicken under her wings, and you've rejected. You've stood away from me. You've said no. And now there's going to be some judgment. There's going to be some condemnation for
protection
that.
Protection is no longer offered."
Right.
And, you know, this verse, not to get overly theological, but this is such an important verse for us to understand, that because some would teach that, you know, God's grace is irresistible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You could never resist God's grace, and God decides to save you whether you want to or not, you know. And I'm not here to say I understand the tension between God's sovereignty and man's free will. I don't think anybody does. But the verse is very clear that here are people that are rejecting the grace that Jesus has offered them.
Yeah.
"Ye would not." I would. Here's what I want.
Right.
"But ye would not." So they're thwarting the very desire of Jesus for them to be saved.
Yeah.
Just a sad, sad commentary. "He that being often reproved," because the Bible says, "How oft would I have gathered thee? He that being often reproved hardeneth his heart," his neck rather, "shall suddenly be destroyed."
Mm-hmm.
"And that without remedy." As we continually deny, 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 say no, say no, say no, there comes a day where you said your last no.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the verse that comes to mind is, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." But we know that all are not going to come to repentance, because eventually, you know, there are times we even see in Scripture where God says, "I'm done."
Mm.
And what a scary place for a person to be, where God kind of says, "I'm done. You know, you've hardened your neck enough.
My spirit," God said in the days of Noah, "my spirit shall not always strive with man." There's a season where God's spirit, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts.
Yeah.
Today, if you feel the Holy Spirit tugging, if you sense the conviction that he's bringing, then don't put that on the shelf. Deal with what God is doing in your life today. Let me read one last verse. "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me until the time come when ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." So Jesus said, "I'm not going to go back to Jerusalem until it's time for me to die." So he's predicting that you're not going to see me until that day, that triumphal entry day. Mm-hmm. That's when they said these words, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." So that would be weeks later. That would be weeks from now when this would happen. After Jesus would go back to raise Lazarus, and then this is beyond that. So 6 weeks before Jesus would go to die in Jerusalem, "You're not going to see me until then," is what he said, regardless of the time frame. A prediction that Jesus was following the will of God. Every step was measured. Every day was numbered. And Jesus was doing exactly what God had called him to do.
Yeah, and how sad really are these last two verses, aside from the fact that obviously what you just said, Jesus is doing exactly what God has called him to do. But man, you look at verse 35, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." Like, you've had the opportunity to come. You've had, I wanted to protect you, but now it's too late. Your house is left unto you desolate. But one day you're going to see that I am who I claim to be.
And my appeal would be to maybe the few of you that are listening to this podcast and have never formally received Christ into your heart and life. Don't put off that decision. Behold, now is the accepted time. That's what Paul told the Corinthians. And that's what God tells you. And so today, take the grace of the Lord. Don't resist it. Don't say no. Don't quench the Spirit. Let God's Spirit do in your life what only He can do, and that is to make you become a child of God. Regeneration to save you as you come to Christ by faith. That's all the time we have for today, my friends. Appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk to you again next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.